During Advent, we're in a series called Pause. Last week was about pausing to prepare, and this week is called Pause to Live. Anyone here a fan of the film The Matrix? Now, you're all either too old or too young. Oh, yeah, we got one at least. Excellent. Okay. The Matrix was a sci-fi film that came out just a few years ago now. It became something of a cult classic. It's about a computer hacker called Neo. I don't know why everyone in The Matrix has to wear dark glasses. It's very strange. Anyway, Neo, who is contacted by underground freedom fighters, who explain that that reality as he understands it is actually a complex computer simulation called The Matrix. And it's run by a malevolent artificial intelligence. And there's a scene in which Neo meets the leader of the freedom fighters, a guy called Morpheus. And Morpheus presents Neo with two pills, one red and one blue. And if Neo selects the blue pill, he'll wake up again at home and remember nothing. If he selects the red pill, Morpheus will allow him to see the truth about what's going on. So, nothing quite as sinister as that. But what if I told you this morning that I could give you two pills? The first one, if you took it, would make your life so much more full, so much healthier, less stressed. In fact, it would probably add years to your life. It would enrich your relationships. It would help you find your purpose in life. Now, if there was a pill like that, would any of you be interested in taking it? Yeah, you're a very suspicious lot. Yes, thank you. Yes. Now, just to be clear, this is an illustration. If that doesn't really exist as a pill, so if you see something on the internet advertised as that, don't buy it. But then, on the other hand, another pill that does pretty much the exact opposite of that. It would make your life more stressful. It would bring an incredible amount of stress on your relationships. It would cause sickness. It would take years off your life. And if you took this pill every day, it would distract you from discovering God's purpose for your life. Now, would we take that pill? No, of course not. Here's the problem. Many of us are taking that pill pretty much every day, in spite of the consequences that it's going to have on our lives. And this pill is a pill called busyness. And the reason we're talking about this today is that if we continue to take that pill day in and day out, it's going to diminish our effectiveness as a church, as parents, as husbands and wives, as workers, and it's going to diminish the quality of lives that we live here on earth. And yet we keep taking it. I'm willing to bet that a good proportion of you have had a conversation with someone over the last few weeks that went something like this. Great to see you. How are you doing? Oh, I'm good, thanks. Just really busy right now. Crazy busy. I know I find myself saying things like that all the time, and I hear a lot of other people saying the same thing. In fact, we almost take pride in how busy we are. We somehow think that if we're really busy, we must be more productive. It makes us feel more important. We've got more going on. There's a lot of demands on our time, and so we kind of boast about this. How many of you could use an extra hour in the day? A few of you. Especially during this season that we're in now. There is so much going on. Our schedules are packed with friends, with family, career, church, volunteering, other responsibilities. Sometimes our days are so full that we don't enjoy anything because we're trying to do everything. And yet deep down inside, most of us know that that pill is bad for us. Most of us know that if we could create some breathing room, if we could learn how to create some space, then our relationship with God would be better, and that our relationships with other people would be better. So our prayer this Christmas is that these times when we come together on a Sunday morning would be just a bit of a deliberate pause where we can take some time to reflect on some of the things that God might be speaking to us. And it's slightly ironic that even in this series called Pause, last week we had pause to prepare. Next week we've got pause to celebrate. It's very easy to just fill up the pauses with more activity. And sometimes that's appropriate. Sometimes the pause is to allow you to actually do something else which needs to take a higher priority. But sometimes, and this is our focus today, sometimes we just need to pause in order to do less. Sometimes we actually need to do less in order to be more productive. So let's just think into this a bit more. Why should we pause? What's the big deal? Well, there are three key reasons that we need to do this. Here's the first one. God didn't create us to live this way. God didn't create us to live this way. It's easy for us to forget that we were created and that we have a creator. We're masterpieces. And God created us with great intention. And in the top 10 list of things that God considers important for us, he says, I want you to take a day off. Don't you think that's great? We worship a God who actually wants us to take time off. Here it is in Exodus, in the Ten Commandments. This is number 4 if you're counting the commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but at the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And you kind of sense he could have stopped there, but he knew how much we would try to find a loophole in this. And so he really hammers the point home. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, so the pets, let's make them rest too, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. In other words, he is saying, everybody, without exception, I want you to take a break. One day out of every 7, I just want you to do nothing. Just rest. Because I created you that way. I found out this week there is a recognized medical condition called hurry sickness. You can look this up on the internet. Hurry sickness is one definition of it. A behavior pattern characterized by continual rushing and anxiousness. An overwhelming and continual sense of urgency. Or here's another definition of it. A malaise in which a person feels chronically short of time and so tends to perform every task faster and to get flustered when encountering any kind of delay. That sound familiar to anyone? Somewhere else I read, if you're the sort of person that goes into a lift and repeatedly presses the closed doors button, it's a sure sign you may be suffering from hurry sickness. Apparently, there used to be a thing. I was doing some research on this week because it sounds so mind-blowing. Decades ago, there used to be this phrase that people used. It was called spare time. Have you ever heard of spare time? They used to have this stuff, and people would actually think about what are we going to do with our spare time? And what would happen in these families is that after they'd hung out all their clothes on the washing line to dry, and after they'd cooked dinner and cleaned all the dishes by hand, and maybe they'd washed their car by hand and taken the rugs outside and beaten them with a broom, after they'd done all these things, they would have this spare time. And so they would do things like maybe go and see a movie together as a family, or go for a cycle ride, or play miniature golf, I don't know, or go for a picnic. Spare time, it's a wild concept, I know. But the great thing is that now we have progressed technologically so much as a culture, we have these really great things that would help us have more spare time. So you don't have to hang your clothes out to dry them anymore. You get a washer dryer, which does it all for you. In fact, I'm told you can even get one with a steam thing in it that the clothes come out as if they're ironed. Amazing. And we have these cool things called dishwashers, where you can just throw everything in, all the pots and pans and plates and everything, that does it all for you. We've got drive-through car washes. We've even got little robots that you can set loose in your house and they'll zoom around and vacuum the floor for you. In 1930, the British economist John Maynard Keynes reckoned that our grandchildren would work around 3 hours a day, and probably only by choice, because of all the economic progress and technological advances. And yet it just hasn't worked, has it? For many of us, the reality is that we feel busier than we've ever been. But God didn't create us to live this way. We've got to stop wearing this as a badge of honour, that we've got to be busy all the time if we're going to get anywhere in life. And if you're thinking, Ian, if you're saying that I've got to be less productive, that I've got to get less done, I'm sorry, I haven't got time to listen to that. Well, actually, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm suggesting is that if we actually started living the way God intended us to live, and I'm including myself in this, including taking time off, we would actually end up being more productive. Just think with me for a moment about creation. Anyone remember in the creation story in Genesis, what day were human beings created? Anyone know? Day six, yeah. So God created humankind and he said to them, I want you to be fruitful and I want you to multiply. Now the fruitful part, I think God is talking about productivity. He's saying, I didn't create you just to hang around all day and be lazy. That's not what this message is about. God wants us to be productive. But think about this. What happened on the day after God made us? He rested. He took a Sabbath. All of creation rested. And so God made us to be productive. But the very first thing that we did, the first full day that we were on earth, we rested. And there's a principle there that if we would pay attention to it, it would make us far more productive. And the principle is this. We are created to work from our rest, not rest from our work. We weren't just created to go all the time, and then at the weekend, collapse into our bed and chill. We were created to rest, to take time to really connect with our Lord and with each other. And out of that refreshing, we would go into our weeks and we would be productive. Okay, so we need to rest because God didn't create us that way. Two more reasons. Firstly, because efficient relationships just don't work. Now, what do I mean by that? We want to be faster and more efficient at everything, right? But here's the problem. Relationships thrive when there is margin and breathing room. But relationships die when there is not. We cannot be efficient at relationships. I'm a great believer in email and online collaboration tools and things like that. Sharing information around the deacons or the building group or other groups is hugely more efficient using the tools that we have today, and they're great. But if those groups never actually met in person, things would go seriously wrong very quickly. Or if Lindsay and I spent our days off at our computers emailing each other, our relationship would not be getting healthier. Do you remember, and I appreciate that for some of you this is longer ago than to remember than others, do you remember when you were first going out with someone? When you weren't actually with them in person, I bet you spent hours on the telephone talking to them. A lot of the time, not necessarily even saying anything sensible, just wasting time together. Because that's what relationships are about. But then you get married, and you start a career, and you have kids, and you have this going on and that going on, and you forget the amount of time that you spent just developing the level of intimacy that you once had. And maybe that you're now yearning back to. We forget that relationships can't happen efficiently. And the thing is, God created us to live in community. This is what Jesus said once. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Just think about that. The stakes are pretty high there. Jesus is saying, the world is going to know about me, about my mission, about what I did, because they're going to see the way that you live your lives. And if you live your lives with margin and breathing space and in a way that you can really learn to love one another deeply, to go through conflicts and difficulties and still love one another, then they're going to know that you're my disciples. That's a big deal. Relationships cannot happen efficiently. The last reason that we need to learn to pause is because our mission requires it. What was Jesus' mission? It was to seek and to save the lost, right? Or if you prefer, what was the mission he gave us in Acts? To be witnesses to him. And yet one of the first things to get cut out of our busy schedules is spending time with people who don't know the Lord. Often we forget that we are not here either to build a nice little nest egg and pass it on to our kids, or to gather with a few believers and feel great about ourselves. We're here to do the one thing which we won't be able to do in heaven, which is to reach people for Jesus. But that is not going to happen if we don't have time built into our schedule. If I'm not spending time with other people, and also if I'm not spending time with God, getting to know his voice, getting to know his prompting, developing ears to hear, God, where are you at work around me? Listen to this. This is from Ephesians 5, where Paul is talking to the church. And he says, look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be wise. Make the best use of your time, because the stakes are high. Christmas is very often a time when people out there are sometimes more aware, more sensitive than at other times to the situation they're in, to their pain, to their stress, to their challenges. And they can be much more receptive to the gospel. And that means that God is going to be working in people's lives. When that happens, your sensitivity to God's prompting and having a conversation or inviting someone around for a coffee or bringing someone to a service could be the difference that means life for that person. God didn't create us this way. Relationships can't happen efficiently, and our mission requires that we learn how to pause. Let me just finish with this. Some years ago, I had an old wardrobe with a rail which all my clothes were hung on. It wasn't a particularly big wardrobe, but I had quite a lot of clothes at the time, especially work clothes, so they were all jammed in there. And one day, I came in from work, took off my jacket, put it on a hanger, and squeezed a space in the wardrobe, hung the thing on, and as I hang it on, the whole rail just went woof, collapsed, taking all my clothes with it. I think the wardrobe was just saying, I quit, I'm done. The point is that some of us are living our lives like that. It's just one more thing. We're living at such a breakneck speed. We are so busy. We're so to our capacity relationally and with meetings and commitments. It's just that one more thing that's going to cause everything to snap. I wonder if we can change that. And the answer is not to buy a bigger wardrobe or a stronger rail. It has to be getting rid of some of the stuff in it. Because if we don't live with breathing room emotionally, then eventually it's going to lead to an emotional breakdown. If we don't have any margin physically, then we are going to have health issues as a result. If we don't have space for relationships with God and with other people, then those relationships are going to suffer. Are we going to continue to take that pill day in, day out, or are we going to live our lives differently? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the incredible gift of time that you've given us. And yet we're aware that we don't have a lot of it. And so we ask that you would help us to be a church that uses it wisely. Help us to be a church that would learn to rest, that would learn to spend time getting to know your voice. Help us to learn to pause. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.